The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien Marks, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm always joyful when I speak to you and when I hear cracking songs like Am Echad, Lev Echad, One People, One Heart.
Absolutely amazing. Fascinating story, this. And I am very ambivalent about it because it irritates me, the story, that Qatar has agreed with FIFA that, okay, they will allow in Israelis for the World Cup. Isn't that rude? Isn't that rude that this is even a discussion and that now we're meant to be joyous and relieved that Israelis can go to Qatar because FIFA's managed to negotiate with them? There's something uncomfortable about the story.
First of all, I'm uncomfortable that the World Cup is even taking place in Qatar because this is a country that is not ranked high on the list of countries that respect human rights. And I just wonder where the commissions of inquiry are into this country, or, you know, where are the Amnesty International reports there. But hey, you never know what people have to do for to make sure that a World Cup takes place in their country.
Certainly
just
we do.
Saying,
yeah.
Saying about, yes, yesterday a deal was concluded between Qatar, FIFA, and our Ministry of Foreign Affairs, as well as Sports and Culture, that will allow Israelis to travel to Qatar later this year for the World Cup. That's taking place in November. Just a reminder that Israel and Qatar have no formal relations, no diplomatic relations at all. In fact, Qatar are known to be a favoured place of destination in a 5-star hotel, of course, by private jet, while, you know, copious visits to the spa for Hamas officials, while their people have to endure horrific humanitarian crises in the Gaza Strip under their leadership.
But does that mean that Israelis will actually go? Surely they are at risk. We know that the links with Hamas. We know that there's no Israeli representation there. Surely Israel would not be that comfortable for their with their citizens attending this.
You would think that, especially in light of the fact that we have Iran threatening reprisal attacks on the assassination of a colonel from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, which may or may not have been the Mossad. Bike riding Mossad dolphins have claimed responsibility for that one, Howard and listeners. But we greatly underestimate the commitment of Israeli soccer fans, Howard. I remember being here on one trip, and one of the stores had big screen TVs, and don't think that Israelis didn't take their deck chairs to pop on the pavement to watch the football on multiple big screen TVs outside the store after closing hours. But Israelis are massive, massive soccer fans, football fans, and I think that they will go just to beat Dafka as well. Mm. And also, Israelis are a curious bunch. We want to see, you know, what the attraction to Qatar is all about. How come they get a World Cup? Although you never know what could happen in the future. Could we host a World Cup, you know, along with our Abrahamic brothers? Who knows? But yeah, so this goes beyond just the tickets. So they're also looking at ways to have direct flights.
I was going to ask that. I mean, how do you? Yeah, I was going to ask how you even get there. Absolutely.
So right now the negotiations are underway for direct flights because it would be, I think, a bit of a headache for Israelis who would have to go via. You know, it's like what do they say? Going to Durban via Cape Town, so to speak. But what will happen for Israelis wanting to get their soccer on is they would have to first purchase a ticket and then apply for a fan ID card, something they can do online. And that will grant the holder entry into Qatar. So
it's like a little yellow star.
To me, it feels like a yellow star. Is this the same procedure for any other country, or is it just Israelis that have to purchase their online yellow star in the form of an ID holder? But FIFA, Qatar have not commented. Qatar's only comment on this is to say they won't block Israelis from coming. And our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, has lauded it as a diplomatic win. He says it's an achievement, it will warm the hearts of soccer fans, and it opens a gate to new warm relations. And by this, people read that maybe he's talking about Saudi Arabia, maybe other Gulf states joining our Abrahamic covenant or Abrahamic Accords. Defense Minister has said that this will strengthen the bond of understandings between Qataris and Israelis. And, you know, this is what we have to remember, and it's a sentiment shared by Hilly Tropp, our sports minister, who says, you know, sports has an incredible power to cross continents and connect people and countries. And, you know, why shouldn't we be a part of the biggest celebration in the world? I mean, I thought it was last week outside Buckingham Palace, but that's just me.
I think a different crowd, or maybe not a different crowd. But either way, I do not share this enthusiasm. I'm very, very cynical about this. I find it deeply, deeply offensive. Yes, of course, it can bring Israelis closer and people closer across the world. But I don't know. It just feels rotten to me. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 0618951019. Do you think that this is something that should be celebrated? Of course, there's a lot of good that can come out of it. Do we put our cynicism, or do I put my cynicism aside? I'd love your thoughts around that. Norway to label goods from Judea and Samaria. All right, tell us about this story.
So this is a curious story because I haven't seen reports in any of our media that says that Norway are to label goods. However, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, their spokesperson came out with a statement last night saying the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs condemns the Norwegian government's decision to label products originating from Israeli localities in Judea and Samaria. I mean, talk about that yellow star. This decision will not contribute to the advancement of Israeli-Palestinian ties and will adversely affect bilateral relations between Israel and Norway, as well as Norway's relevance to promoting relations between Israel and the Palestinians. It is very unfortunate that Norway has chosen to adopt the EU's misguided regulation, despite not being a member of the EU or bound by its decisions, and has decided to take a unilateral step such as product labeling. Now, this is very curious to me because we haven't seen the reports in our media, which could mean that the foreign ministry has gotten wind of this decision and is trying to preempt any kind of statement from the Norwegian government or coming in from Oslo. So very, very disappointing. You know, it goes back to those horrendous times in our history where we were singled out and labeled. And just a reminder that we don't see this on any other country where there are disputes or conflicts. It really is Israel again singled out and judged by a different standard. And when we look at Natan Sharansky's 3 Ds by which we measure anti-Semitism, something by which the IRA definition includes, it's the 3 Ds: demonization, delegitimization, and double standards.
Yeah. And can this be appealed?
I think this can be appealed. I think that, like we have seen with Belgium and like we have seen with other attempts, there will be lawyers, there will be organizations that will make a strong case on Israel's behalf. And it wouldn't surprise me if we do hear from other European countries like Germany, like Austria, who have already labeled BDS an anti-Semitic organization, come out in criticism of this.
Once we're talking about BDS and anti-Semitism, and I know that you listened to the interview that I had with BDS here in South Africa, it's an interesting one how BDS claim quite virulently to be anti-Semitism, or they absolutely are not anti-Semitic, yet many countries around the world have declared them exactly such. The other story that was quite a big one was what's happened recently in Boston with BDS.
Well, let's talk about that, because BDS love to claim they're lots of things when it's convenient for them in the moment, but unfortunately their actions say otherwise. They have stated quite unequivocally, as part of their end game, the end of the state of Israel as it currently stands. They also shout out slogans like "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." Now, we know that that is a call for genocide, despite their proclamations otherwise. Now, let's be clear. Criticism of Israeli policy that you don't like is legitimate and is democratic and is something that Israelis engage in all the time. We have a variety of different opinions here in the country, representations in political parties, and we are a very robust democracy with a free press. Let's be very clear on that. BDS are termed not just by certain countries, but by the IRA definition and by the legal fraternity to be an anti-Semitic organization. For the simple reasons is that they fulfill the three Ds. They demonize the state of Israel. We have not seen BDS call for boycotts of Russia, which would make it a bit of a conflict of interest since they are a Soviet Union construct. We don't hear for their, because they are what? They are anti-homophobia, anti-racism. We don't hear them calling out the Iranians and calling for boycotts, divestment, and sanctions against Iran for homophobia and for their gross human rights violation. But again, that would be a conflict of interest, since before they had their big meeting in South Africa in 2001, they actually met in Tehran. You see where I'm going with this, people. They say they're not anti-Semitic, but as you mentioned, they published a map in a map of Boston highlighting the Jewish institutions. These are synagogues, these are schools, these are organizations, highlighting where they are in Boston and targeting them and calling for them to be dismantled. Now, these are not Israeli schools or Israeli synagogues, you know, where you pray to something Israeli. These are Jewish installations. And if you are listening to me speaking right now and you still think and are still of the impression that BDS is a social justice organization or all they want is to end the occupation, think again. They don't see Judea, Samaria, or the West Bank, whatever you want to call it, or well, we can't say Gaza is occupied because we pulled out of there in 2005. If you think that they are talking about those areas specifically, think again. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. What do you think that means?
It's really quite fascinating to hear, because they were on the show this week and said quite unequivocally that they are not anti-Semitic and in fact stand by that quite strongly. So really, really just very, very interesting. Finally, Liberia to open an office in Jerusalem. That's good news.
It is good. good news in Liberia, which is based in West Africa, somebody says to me, oh, great, it's Libya. I'm like, no, it's not quite, Libya. Not Can quite. We just get them to recognize Israel exists before? Liberia is a West African country, and they announced this week they would be opening an office in Jerusalem, which is really good news because while they have been a very friendly country to Israel, you know, standing firmly with Israel at the African Union, and at the United Nations, they don't have an embassy in Israel. So this is the first move. They filed their papers. It is the great hope that this office, which will start as a commercial office, will expand to become an embassy. So while their delegation has been here, they've met with the Ministry of Defense and the Ministries of Tourism, Ministries of Foreign Affairs, and various other organizations and ministries to look at ways to improve tourism and agriculture in Liberia, and also very importantly, how Israel can help Liberia deal with the problem of drought. Now, we've spoken about issues like droughts, habitat loss, and Israel is focusing very, very strongly on looking at solutions to help combat the effects of climate change, the Middle East and Africa being two of the hardest hit areas in the world because of the changes in our climate. And a lot of countries now looking at Israel and Israeli know-how for ways to combat this. So a very, very positive move. And they join Suriname, who announced last week that they'll be opening their embassy in Jerusalem. So, you know, for those keeping stock, and especially you guys, BDS, these are epic fails.
Really just incredible how we're seeing such tremendous moves. We're seeing it in Africa as well. So many African states forming a connection with Israel, one that benefits both the both locally here in Africa as well as Israel. Really just a tremendous progress in this regard, and it's just phenomenal to see. And you just see these two divergent approaches, and I just wish that if we could find ways to cooperate, then certainly the lives of the Palestinians, the lives of Israelis, everybody would just improve so much more so. But you have to choose it, unfortunately, and you've got to be able to choose that which way you want to go. Rolene Marks, thank you. Thank you for your perspective on the BDS, which stands in stark contrast to the conversation that we had with BDS themselves earlier this week. Thanks for your updates, and we'll catch you next week. Have a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom.